Right now it is time to bring in the Lakeville Journal. It is time to take a look at this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal. In the studio we have Cynthia and Ann. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ann.
She's not organized. She just arrived.
Good morning.
And we'll bring in Janet. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right. So we have to start off right. Something that Cynthia, we just talk about all the time, and to us it happens over and over. It's like a recurring nightmare where the Housatonic claimed another life.
Yeah. We're actually starting, and we're not a super campaign-y kind of a newspaper, but we're starting a campaign to try and get First Light to put up signs in Spanish and English at eye height, not 8 or 10 feet up on the tree in English, that just says, well, it's a little dangerous to swim here. I mean, I think they really need to have signs that say, this is very dangerous. People do die here every year, and have them in Spanish and have them at eye level. So we've sent a note to Johanna Hayes, our rep, and we'll send a copy of these this article and our editorial to First Light today, and to see if we can get them to do something about this. It's a pretty easy fix for them. They have all the signs in Spanish and English saying not to eat the fish. It seems they should be able to do the same for not swimming.
Not to go in the water.
Yes, although this particular tragic drowning did not occur at Bulls Bridge at the recreation area. It occurred at the power plant, which isn't automatically a place that I would find that attractive. But I guess if you're driving up, and maybe they felt like there are all these no parking signs around the Bulls Bridge recreation area, which they're discussing doing in the Amesville section of Falls Village, which is where another fatal swim occurred. But I would say that those signs are not hugely effective, and you do have a lot of people coming up from New York City on the weekends and having these massive picnics out there and then jumping in the cooling water.
And it is so much closer than Niagara Falls, and this is just, again, one of the...
Right.
No, the reason I'm saying it is because it's one of the drawbacks of being able to post a picture, and you go, oh, wow, that's 2 hours away. That's why I said close. It's like, oh, wow, I could go far.
And I'm not even sure. I mean, I think that it must be something spread by word of mouth. I don't think that certainly anybody up here is advertising these as places to come down in Bronx or Brooklyn, where so many of the victims of these things are happening. But it does seem like nobody's really saying to them. And I think that part of what it is people feel like, well, we don't want to make them feel unwelcome. But, it's dangerous. Yeah. Somebody needs to mention it.
And once again, automobile crash claims the life of a local person.
Right. And super local for us. It's the father of our summer intern from last year, Matt Holderman, who loves cars and had gone to work for IMSA after he left us last year during the summer internship, and has been working at Le Bon's this summer. And it's super tragic. Happened Sunday night around 10:30, and the road was closed until about 5 o'clock the next day, Monday, because Matthew Holderman, the dad, hit a utility pole and took out the power wires. And the electric company immediately rerouted all the electric. So I think most people we didn't actually know until later in the day why the road was closed. We thought it was an investigation. But it's, it's hard because it's right there on Route 7, and of course we pass by it every day, and it's been very hard. The family's been out there, crying, and there's a shrine that's been built up there, so really a lot of reminders of a very sad incident, and hard to understand. Mm-hmm. Not a particularly treacherous stretch of road. You can only guess it must have been a perfect storm of an animal jumping out in the rain and whatever, but very sad.
All right, just to the left of that on the page is Patrick Sullivan's story on speaking out on firearm safety on the green.
Somebody said to me about a year ago that being in a protest was on her bucket list, and I always say, my bucket list is to never have to protest anything and have everything be super great, but a lot of opportunities to check off that bucket list item lately. And so on Saturday last weekend on the green in Salisbury, where they have the weekly peace march, they had a lot of people coming out and sort of opposing, firearms and the right to have too many firearms with too few checks.
I think back to 69, 70, and 71 when I used to, especially in 69 and 70, where I used to walk on the peace marches.
Yeah.
And then, I never thought I'd have to protest again.
Yeah.
But
the war to end all wars, remember that?
Yeah, God, that's absolutely amazing. Johanna Hayes is coming to our area.
She is. She's been here a lot. Oh, yeah, she's been amazing. And doesn't make you feel like she's just here doing campaign stuff. She's really coming and wants to talk to people. And she's going to be at Housatonic Valley Regional High School on Tuesday, August 27th. The doors open at 5:30. The event starts at 6, and a great opportunity. So think up some questions that you have for her about what life is like in Washington and what the future looks like.
All right. And right there on the front page is a picture not only of Sawyer Thornton, but also
her dog, Moose, the most dour-looking dog ever, who's in charge of cheering up, which I think is very funny. So Sawyer Thornton, a wonderful local girl, and you know, she and her sister Paxton were at Sharon Center School back when my daughter was there. Their mom Becky is the head of the Dutchess Land Conservancy, and Sawyer and Paxton actually have both been working at Sharon Healthcare Center for many years, which had been taken over by John Horstman, who is the very experienced retirement home administrator who had been at GEAR for many years before Kevin O'Connell. So he'd retired, and they recruited him back to Sharon Healthcare Center. He got it really, you know, ticking along pretty nicely. I would say it's a nice place that people feel comfortable taking their loved ones to live at their time of need. And so Sawyer has now been promoted up. John has retired. Actually, he's been moved by the company Athena Healthcare to another facility. And so Thoyer has now been promoted up and will be in charge. And, you know, very proud of this young woman who is local and has found a great career here.
All right. There's a picture of Ann Coffin, who I interviewed earlier this week on the art show in Cornwall, as we always say.
Are you going to skip Ann Day's beautiful photo of the dogs? Are you?
Where are the dogs?
The dogs are in the top left. So Ann Day sent in this beautiful photo of my neighbor Rory O'Connor's convertible with these two cute little dogs in it.
At first
I said, like, oh, we should do a story on, you know, dogs and cars. And then I was like, actually, it's been pretty hot. So we did a whole story about, and of course, exemplary conditions in which to carry your dogs around, which is to leave the top open. But so we did a whole story on reminding people that it's too hot to leave your dog in the car. Even with the windows open, it gets like an oven in there, even if you've got the windows cracked. So don't do it. And this obviously also applies to children and to older people who you'll often see an older couple where one person is getting out of the car and running errands and another person is in the car. So a reminder, you know, it's not, it just don't leave anybody in the car with windows open, windows closed, just period.
All right. Now we can go on to Ann Coffin, who I interviewed. It's tough to follow up the Rose Algemert Art Show, but the Cornwall Library is doing it.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I have to say, I went to the Labor Day Art Sale a couple years ago when they were just starting it up, and it felt like, well, you know, nice effort. But Lila Hawken, when you read this article, you are definitely going to want to go to this art sale. It just sounds so enticing the way she described it. And Ann Coffin, a very interesting person, very interested in the arts. And the way that this sale works, it's the opposite of Rose Algemert. At Rose Algemert, we have local artists who are doing incredible work. And, you know, I'm kicking myself. There are so many pieces I wish I'd bought at Rose Algemert. And now those are all new works. These are all older works. And, you know, I always wonder around here, you have, you know, speaking of Rose Algemert, you sometimes buy small pieces by people who are local, and they don't really have a lot of resale. It's not like you're going to send them to Sotheby's or something. So what do you do with them? And you can donate them to the Labor Day Art Sale at the Cornwall Library. And it sounds like they've got a pretty big collection of really interesting stuff. So that's coming up. The opening is Friday night.
All right. Explain Galaxy Jar.
Patrick just sometimes will go to some things. And sometimes somebody will say to me, well, you know, I'll go cover that little thing. But when Patrick goes, there's a sort of a value-added level where he can go to the silliest, apparently, and I'm sure that the kids loved this. He can go to these activities where you don't necessarily see a story, and he just covers it in a way that makes it so funny. So definitely read his story about glitter and cotton and funny colors.
All right. Now, Lila also has a story on the Sharon Habitat House, which is finally built.
I think you and I probably remember that this has had a long and very complex history. So this is a piece of property on Low Road. It's a very wet property. The Sharon Land Trust, or no, the Sharon Housing Trust had the property, and they had also built one house. It's called Belmetto over just as you're coming around past the corner of the reservoir. And that property had required an unbelievable amount of engineering because it was a wet property, and they'd had to build up a basement that was strong enough to withstand the forces of all the water coming at it so that the foundation wouldn't crack. So they had a similar problem here with this property on Low Road, where it was just incredibly wet, and the Sharon Housing Trust really was having trouble getting applications for people to live in it, and it took a really long time to get it off the ground, literally. So then they joined forces with Habitat and then eventually gave the property over to Habitat, who found this family called the Ciccatellis. The mom had a job here at Sharon Hospital, and it took about 2 years to build this house, again, because it just takes a lot of engineering to build on these wet spots. So finally the house has been built, and Lila went to the I guess it's not really christening, to the opening of it, although they do a blessing of it, and nice family, young kids, and a great family to have in the area as we are looking to have more young people here.
All right. Ella Clark retiring in Sharon.
Janet and I were talking about the fact that we keep feeling like they're saying that Ella Clark is retired, and then you see Ella, and she's hard at work, and you say, Ella, congratulations on retiring. And she always sort of says, like, I'm not retired. So so in theory, Ella Clark is retired and came and talked to the selectmen about, you know, what – because Ella has so much institutional memory about every single person in the town who's in need and about every donor who can possibly help out these people. So nice meeting with the selectmen in which she was handing off some of this information. But Janet and I were at the Rotary Club awards dinner last night, and she was awarded again. And she just kind of was like, no, I'm still the social services director. So she's a rock that collects no moss.
Right.
She's rolling and rolling. Yeah.
And tomorrow night is an important town meeting in Sharon, because town meetings, that's where folks – you tell the selectmen what to do.
Right, and it seems like an uninteresting thing. They're updating some ordinances, often quite, you know, feels quite tedious, but then it's when that ordinance comes and hits you in the behind, you wish that you had had your chance to say, have your say about it. So a tour coming up on Saturday in West Cornwall, where they're going to some of these iconic buildings. And like Sharon, so when you're on the green here in Sharon, you see all these beautiful houses, and most of them used to have a commercial use back when the town was first built. And, you know, we had a casino here, and we had a school here, and all sorts of interesting stuff. Similar thing in West Cornwall, which has lots of little businesses now. So it's a self-guided tour, noon to four on Saturday. You can find out what those the original uses for those properties were.
And there you have some of the Region 1 faculty hired for this year.
It's like those years 10 years ago when we would have a full page. I remember, I just feel like there were years when we'd have 30 new teachers. And so this year we have 16. Last year I think we had 14. So a lot of hiring going on, lots of nice young faces, and a lot of people who grew up in the area who are finding employment here, gainful employment. So it's great.
All right. We move on. Before we get to the musk roots, which is there, your health tips for avoiding falls.
Yes. Mike Mangini over at Gear had a talk. He does talks every Thursday at the Hollenbeck Room in Gear, free juice and cookies. And this one was on balance, and it was really great. And Gabby Sartori, our intern, and I went. And I think anybody who is over the age of 45 or 50, you know, you just don't recover as well when you have these falls. And I think most of us know somebody who just in one instant of doing two things at the same time hurt themselves really badly. So some tips on, you know, standing up, catch your breath, look around, don't be in such a hurry, different ways to sit down, a very useful article.
All right. We have reached the opinion pages, and I want to mention my favorite piece from Turning Back the Pages is the following. Lime Rock: Mr. C.W. Barnum is attending the races in Poughkeepsie this week.
And eventually he attended them in Lime Rock.
That's exactly.
Started that little oval there, whatever it was then.
Well, let's go to the editorial, because you've got the pictures that Cynthia's been talking about, and you've got an editorial to go with it.
Right. If you look at these photos, look how high up these signs are on these trees, and look how small the type is, and instead of saying danger for swimming or something else, all it says at the top of one sign is please in big letters, and then goes on. It really is not clear for anybody who's not familiar with the area that, you know, the water they're walking toward is not as benign as it might seem. If there are areas that look smooth and calm, there are often eddies and currents underneath. And this is a tragic situation for people who are injured or killed in our waters that, you know, we are, you know, this part of the reason we love being here is the nature that is so much a part of our lives, but It's not like a swimming pool. It's different, and not everybody knows it coming in for the first time. So do read the editorial. If you agree that there should be better and clearer restrictions around these potential swimming areas, you know, that should not be swimming, get in touch with First Light. We have the way to do that, and you know, we firmly believe something could be done to make it more clear how dangerous it is.
All right, and you've got letters to the editor, but I want to say the one of the columns that I really read through, and it's true. Mike Causey and I talk about it every morning. Baseball is just not baseball, because strikeouts are not considered bad anymore, and the amount of people that strike out in the league has gone so high that new baseball is all about home runs and not about hits and strikeouts and stuff. So it's great to see Dick with this guy.
Oh boy, yeah, and he gets into, you know, he takes a deep dive into the statistics and how things have changed over the years. It's fascinating for any baseball fan, no matter who your team is, it does make for some boring games. It's hard to see how, you know, young people coming up, if they're not playing the sport, how they'll be engaged with it. Why wouldn't you, you know, do gaming instead, or, you know, watch some other sport that has more action than watch baseball, which I am a huge fan of. But I think Dick is right. Give it a read. 'Tis the season.
And, of course, you have Lisa Wright and also Ralph Nader.
That's right. Lisa's writing about aging in place. This is a multi-part series she's working on, and, you know, so many of us deal with it for ourselves, our parents, our loved ones. And it's an important thing to think about before you get to that moment where you have to decide stay in the house or take a different turn. And so really give it a read. And Ralph Nader is writing about the top Boeing bosses, saying they should testify before Congress now, and he gives us all the reasons why. Okay. And don't miss Mary Close Oppenheimer's piece on affordable housing. She talks to Stephanie Magyar, who's the Salisbury Central principal.
All right, that's those on the opinion and letters to the editor and viewpoint pages. And we now have plenty of time. You can actually talk in slow time if you would like to about a hand compass.
So do you want us to just slow down the speed?
We have plenty of other things we can talk about.
I have this week on Compass, we've got a fantastic photography show at the Norfolk Library, which always hosts these really good shows for art. I think that a library is always a hard place to look at art, and in this area, it seems to be there's really wonderful shows both at the Sharon Library and the Norfolk Library. Christopher Little, for many, many years, was a People magazine photographer. He's now not retired from photography completely, but he's not working in the magazine world anymore. He has just done a show of two very different kinds of pictures. One are color pictures taken with a drone of places in Norfolk, and he does it in a way so they look like little toys, like a little model railroad set. And they're nice, interesting point of view on a small town. And then he does a completely different thing, which are black and white portraits of people who live in Norfolk that he lights in the style of George Harrell, the famous Hollywood photographer of the 1930s. It's that kind of smoky glamour light that you always picture Marlene Dietrich and people like that. So he took normal people. There's a guy who's normally a plumber, and he lights him in a way so you think he's some really louche mystery writer. He's got a cigarette, and the smoke is curling around his head. And then the women that he photographs look like sort of society girls or movie stars or showgirls. He has one portrait of Michaela Murphy, who's one of the owners of the gas station in Norfolk. She's also a fine art photographer. But usually I see her in overalls when she's filling up my car. And looking at her in the show, she's just this most glamorous, bohemian kind of art collector lady. Anyway, it's a beautiful show, and there's a story about it on page 5. We've also got a movie review by Alexander Wilburn about the movie Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which is at the movie house right now. I'm not sure how long it's there, but you'd have to see it go on their website, but I think it's still there this week. It's got Cate Blanchett. It's taken from a novel which was kind of popular about 4 years ago about a woman who disappears from her boring suburban life. And as usual, Alexander does a really humorous, charming review of this film. We also have an art show in Sharon, reviewed by Carl Salater. And I sort of think anything that Carl writes about, he makes you want to go see. And he says things like, the effect is refreshment, and you wouldn't be out of your tree if you came just to experience it. And he really gets excited about certain things, and he... what's the word? It's contagious. So this show, which is only up through August 25th, there's a closing reception on the 24th, which is, I guess, Saturday night,
yep,
from 4 till 7:30. It's at Standard Space in Sharon. The artist is called Purdy Eaton, and it's both photographs and paintings. It's a beautiful show and definitely worth seeing. Let's see, what else do we have? We have, we also have two plays that C.B. Wismar reviewed. This has been such a full theater season, and C.B. is such a, ambitious and greedy theater goer. He loves going to plays, and he usually gives pretty much every play that he sees, he gets excited about. That's not true this week. He loved The Merry Wives of Windsor, which is at the Roman Garden Theater at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox. It's outdoors, and it's a farce. I love words like romp, farce, frolic. All those words are in his review, so you can tell that it's fun. And then, remember, this has got Falstaff in it. And the great quote about Falstaff by Leonard Diggs was, "Let Falstaff come." He's talking about plays that don't attract great crowds, but let Falstaff come and you scarce shall have room. So I think this is worth seeing. It's there through September 1st at the Roman Garden Theater at Shakespeare and Company. Then there's another play, which is a world premiere at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage. It's called What We May Be. And C.B. doesn't hate it, but he's wondering sort of what it's all about. And I think it didn't make me not want to see it. So read his review and you can decide for yourself.
You know, it's interesting. This weekend, we have Standard Space having an open thing in Sharon. In Salisbury, the White Gallery has an opening on the 24th. And what's great is that these places can have openings, like in Sharon now. We have places people can go to, the Edward and stuff like that. I think that's a big improvement in the quality of life in Sharon and in Lakeville. Lakeville has also... Mm-hmm.
I agree. The Standard Space, by the way, is a closing... This is a new thing in my life.
Closing.
That people have parties with the weekend that the show closes. The Re-Institute up in Millerton have closing parties often. And I think it's a great idea. It gives you your last chance to see the show. The White Gallery is opening a show called A Summer State of Mind. It's a group show with lots of artists. And we've also got trivia night at the Housatonic Child Care Center tonight. It's a benefit, and it's at the Great Falls. I'm sorry, I said it was at. It's sponsored by Housatonic Child Care. It's at Great Falls Brewing Company in Canaan.
All right. Well, I tell you, we're very lucky around here. Well, you see that? You filled all that time there.
Thanks. Thanks, Marshall.
Do we have time for me to give a shout out to Michelle at the All-Star Transportation Company, who does such a beautiful job with the bus routes and has made it so easy for us to organize them, which is, it's still a huge job, but she does so much of it to make it easier for us. And and Michelle had said this year, well, you know, we can just put the link on the website so people can go to the All-Star Transportation or their school website to get their bus route, but we have so many people, as we know, who don't have internet, so that's why we are still committed to printing it in the paper.
All right. Well, that is this week in the Lakeville Journal, and next week, the classic cars.
That's right. It begins.
That's right.
It begins.
Or it ends.
That's it. Well, that's right. The summer ends when that begins. That's right.
if ever there were a sign.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. And, of course, the Lakeville Journal is available online at tricordernews.com. They're also on Facebook. And they also now have an Instagram site as well.